Monday, April 21st, 2008, was the opening day of the Security and Prosperity Partnership Summit in New Orleans, Louisiana, where the presidents of Mexico and the United States and the Prime Minister of Canada met to discuss security and trade and the neoliberal and militaristic integration of North America. New Orleans residents report that the hurricane recovery and homelessness shelters offered free fried chicken, compliments of President George Bush of the United States. In response to the Security and Prosperity Partnership Summit, local community organizers held the People's Summit.
This is a summit that we were able to co-convene with a number of other organizations to bring a unified analysis as well as shared and joint work to unify around ways in which unjust economic policies harm our communities and what we can do about it.
The decision on the part of local New Orleans community organizers to hold a People's Summit, as opposed to a large-scale protest such as was held at last year's Security and Prosperity Partnership Summit in Montebello, Canada, was a controversial one. With the mainstream media reporting that no protests occurred, many protesters felt that holding a counter-summit was a poor choice. Local organizers had this to say.
This is Kimberly Richards. One of the things that happened is when we were contacted about the Three Amigos, as they call themselves, right, coming to New Orleans, Monique and I had gone through the organizing the New Orleans delegation for the U.S. Social Forum. And so I think that that afforded us some benefits. Of one, just what it means to work together as two black women and kind of understand where each other is coming from and be on the ground, kind of having a sense, not that we know everything, but just having a sense of what our communities have been through here in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast the past few months, and the number of demonstrations that we've had and what it has and has not resulted in, and how we have either gotten stronger from it or not. And so one of the things that the U.S. Social Forum did for us was to give us an opportunity to see the benefit of coming together for a collective action of gaining more information about the work we do and how we can be more effective in that work. Now, we weren't poo-pooing anybody's decision to demonstrate, but we believe we came into this process both because of that experience of the Social Forum in June, I think, but also I think because of the knocks and the blows and the bumps that we've just taken in the general work that we do. You know, recognizing that there are groups that come in out of town wherever the Three Amigos go, and they have their agenda. You know, they have their focus, you know, and they have their goals and objectives. And what we, and I mean, at least for me, Monique, you could speak for yourself, but for me, I was most concerned that people from the outside weren't coming into our community determining an agenda that our community was not in alignment with. And that as gatekeepers in this community and the work that we've done, we want to learn more about the relationship of the historic North American free trade to the current one. And we want to be able to dialogue with folks that may have that expertise, but we want them to also hear our expertise. You know what I'm saying? We want them to hear. So, you know, we're not saying that there isn't anything we can't learn, but we want people, when you come in somebody's house, you understand what I'm saying? You sit at their table, and you don't bring a table with you, and you don't bring the chairs with you. You, whatever chairs they have, that's where you sit. And so we wanted to set a table that people could sit at and that we could have a dialogue, that we could all grow and build and learn from. And we just felt that having this kind of people summit could afford that. We felt that any other domination of external forces is another way NAFTA operates. So we don't want to look like them or allow that to happen through the domination of other folks coming in and saying, this is how it's going to be, and this is how y'all going to act, and this is how we're going to do this, because that's NAFTA on a community level, and that's what we don't need.
While controversial, the People's Summit offered many activists and organizers the opportunity to become reacquainted with the kind of community organization that served so well during the equal rights struggles of the 60s and 70s, and which has been a mainstay in the struggle of people to survive the militarization and privatization of post-Katrina New Orleans. In keeping with the theme, the People's Summit was held at a community anti-racist education center in Algiers, New Orleans.
My name is Bakir Tayahembe. We're here in a village on the river. It's a African Caribbean marketplace and historical educational tour spot. We cover the contributions that are made, you know, from the African, the French, the Acadians, and the Native Americans, trying to give a fuller story of our history here in Algiers. But I'm from Algiers. I'm local in the community, and this is, like I said, it's something that we, you know, are just basically developing into something that, you know, the community can really love and appreciate.
The People's Summit of New Orleans began with a guided tour of the city.
This morning I had an opportunity to go on a tour of New Orleans, which really brought out the history of resistance and struggle in the city, which I think is quite important because it's part of the reason why Bush decided to have the SPP here. They want to suggest that the resistance is crushed, that they're able to do this to the city, that this is what their notion of security and prosperity is for all three countries of North America, but that nonetheless, with all these attacks, the people have still fought on. So we learned quite a bit about the history of that, you know, that 1811 was the biggest slave revolt in North America, organized by the people here. 1892 was general strike, uniting black and white workers, one of the major ones, the first one to actually unite black and white workers. And that this spirit is really what New Orleans is about.
The first day of the People's Summit of New Orleans consisted largely of talks and dialogue sessions in which local community organizers and visiting activists discussed the history of racism, oppression, and capitalism in North America, as well as strategies of organization for resisting those things now and into the future.
What we did here in New Orleans, we were doing community work, doing activist work, trying to make a difference. And as I was coming up here in New Orleans, every time we get work, usually white people were always in charge of the work. In many, many ways, they're still in charge. And what I wanted to do, I wanted to help people, I wanted to do organizing. And many of the whites who was doing the work was doing the best they could at the time, but in retrospect, what we realized that many of the whites who was doing the work wasn't talking about racism. Now again, at the time we didn't understand that. And they were doing the best they can, but we saying if you're gonna be effective in dealing with social change or dealing with activist work, you must understand racism, we believe. But in our experience as an organization that deals with training and organizing is that many times when whites would come together as a collective and it would challenge these structural things, such as any president who was exploiting people, creating inequities, what we found in our experience, many times the activist was doing similar to the people that they were working with. Are you following me? What we find is that you can't talk about getting a president, I don't care what president he is, because I don't think none of them have acted right in our experience, not just George Bush. Everyone we had has acted badly toward this community. But we can't talk about challenging those kinds of structures if there's contradictions in how we're doing our activist work. Does that make sense? And many times we wouldn't talk about it. We just want to do mass demonstration. So that's one of the reasons we as an organization decided to say we got to start doing undoing racism training. See, because if you're going to do organizing, we think you have to do anti-racist organizing. If you're going to do organizing, it needs to be anti-racist organizing. Because much of our organizing is done from a technical and a mechanical approach, or what we call a skill approach. See, it's important that people have skills to do this work. But if you give somebody some skills and they haven't dealt with their racism, they can become a skillful racist. And we got folks who are doing a lot of organizing, a lot of mobilizing, and I've been to so many demonstrations, whether it's the environmental movement, somebody talked about it earlier. We always got to set up another people of color movement every time we do it. I don't know what that's about, but every time there's a movement, people of color left out of the process, and poor folks left out of the process. So what we're saying is that if we're going to be effective in doing this work, we must have some kind of analysis to understand racism and institutional racism.
The People's Summit was attended by visiting activists from all over Mexico, Canada, and the United States, including New Orleans residents.
My name is Seamus Wolfe. I'm the Vice President, University Affairs, the Student Federation, the University of Ottawa. We're down here in New Orleans at the People's Summit, kind of the parallel summit to the North American Leaders Summit, where they're discussing the security, so-called Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. Why we're here? Well, the Student Federation, the SFUO, the Student Federation of the University of Ottawa, has taken a firm stance against the SPP for various reasons. Fundamentally, we believe it to be undemocratic, and we as students know that our role in society is to make sure that we, our voices are heard, and that we are creating a society that we want to live in. What the SPP is doing is completely the opposite of that, going towards much more increased militarization, of what's called deep integration of our military and our economies, without any regard for people. They use the languages always of labor and illegal immigrants or aliens instead of what actually is affecting people, how this will affect people, and they don't actually want people to be involved in this process whatsoever. I mean, they prove that by having these closed-door meetings where all these decisions are made. The only people allowed are the Council of Chief Executives of Canada, or the North American Competitive Council, which is just the largest corporations in Canada and in the states in Mexico, who are defining this agenda for all of the people of North America. That's basically, I suppose, why we're here.
Je m'appelle Robert Desmarais. C'est un nom canadien, je sais, mais... c'est un démarrer qui est venu ici en Louisiane de France. je ne suis pas tout à fait clair pourquoi je suis venu. Je pense que c'est un effet de la destruction de ma ville. Après la destruction, j'ai vu les structures de pouvoir dans les États-Unis, dans le monde, qui nous ont empêchés de reconstruire la ville, de rebâtir nos vies, de rappeler tout le monde de revenir chez nous. Il y avait toutes ces forces politiques et économiques incroyablement grandes. Et ça m'a rappelé, oui, que dans ma jeunesse, c'était les mêmes forces qui nous ont empêchés de parler anglais. De parler français, parce que l'anglais était le... Et je viens de le découvrir, de le comprendre. L'anglais était le moyen de nous contrôler, de prendre nos terres, parce que les compagnies pétrolières nous ont obligés de signer les contrats que nous n'avons pas compris. Au moins, c'était pour mon grand-père, c'était comme ça. Moi, je comprends l'anglais assez bien de comprendre un contrat, mais mon grand-père, non, il ne pouvait pas bien parler anglais de tout. Et j'ai vu tout à coup que les forces qui ont démoli la Nouvelle-Orléans, c'était les mêmes forces économiques et sociopolitiques qui ont démoli la culture qui m'a donné un monde de joie. Chez moi, la musique, la vie familiale, la vie des amis, tout ça, pour moi, c'est une source de joie. Ça reste une source de joie. Et je suis en colère et je suis triste quand je vois que ces forces politiques sont les mêmes forces qui veulent dominer la terre au nom de l'argent et du pouvoir au lieu de nous laisser vivre comme nous voulons. Et ce n'est pas bien dit peut-être, mais c'est la connexion que je vois entre ce sommet des peuples et ma vie personnelle comme citoyen de la Nouvelle-Orléans et comme Cajun de la Louisiane.